bring this back into order. The last time we gaveled in, I asked if anybody had any ideas about an agenda. I think we're probably a little closer to having some ideas about an agenda. Would either staff want to lead the way or Chair Murphy? Lead us down the road by the numbers. That's what we need, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Mr. Shepherd, Mr. Lundeen, whoever.
Are we doing the spreadsheet first?
Pardon me?
Are we going to do the spreadsheet or what are we?
We go over the spreadsheet and approve that first. All right, everybody have one?
No. Is it the change one?
No, they're just handing one off.
The brand
one. If you'll indulge me for a second, folks, I want to be the only one that gets a paper cut when I go that way.
You're going to have to give those to Dave.
That's true.
So you should help that represent Murphy.
Should we do this? Well,
so
I guess Paul is with Martin.
So, slight change of plans. There's a piece here that we could do to finish up our language completely. Mr. Shepherd.
Just think. Just 1 minute, Mr. Chair.
It's okay. This got to be done by 1 o'clock. And as it's advantages and it's disadvantages.
Okay. Thank you. Got to find out what I'm doing.
Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that the members now wanted to turn and make a proposal, the House understanding of a proposal on Article 7, the Compensation Council.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. So walking through the, let me state it overall first, my understanding of the House proposal, and then I'll walk through a bit more detail. The House proposal would be to accept the Senate language, not Section 1. So there would be no legislative pay increases in this article, and none of the appropriations in the bill would be used for a legislative pay increase.
And then
the House would then propose accepting Senate Section 2. The House would propose not doing Senate Section 3, which is the cost of living adjustment for the constitutional officers. And then the House would accept all of the Senate language in Sections 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, all the rest of the Senate article. And then the House would also propose accepting all of the language on the House side in this article, which is this was part of the LCC technical bill. It doesn't give anybody salary increases. It would just change the appointing and dates of the Compensation Council and the reporting dates. Madam Chair, have I stated that correctly?
Well, Mr. Shepherd, in terms of what we've got here for the legislative budget,
no.
You saying that none of this money can be used for compensation?
Mr. Chair, no. What I meant to say, and if I said it wrong, I apologize, is that none of the money in the bill would be used for legislator compensation increases.
I understand the word, compensation, but I'm still not particular. I realize this isn't for salaries. Compensation comes in many ways.
Mr. Chair, I misspoke again, and thank you very much for clarifying that. But the House is proposing not adopting Section 1, which is the compensation council recommendations for salaries for the legislators.
Very good.
And the House also wanted to make it clear that none of the appropriations in the bill would be used for salary increases for legislators. And I did misspeak.
Okay.
That any of the appropriations,
no,
if it was health insurance or reimbursement,
right.
That's
what you just said was what I was hoping. I was very clear.
Yes.
Is that in here? What you just said,
Mr. Chair and members, if the conferees did not adopt Senate Section 1, then there would be no authority for salary increases for legislators. The remaining appropriation to the House and the Senate could be used to pay the existing salaries, could be used to pay any per diem that the House and the Senate set for themselves, any health insurance, any other elements of compensation.
And Mr. Shepard, since we've never approved Article 1, then we don't have to have we ever approved it?
No.
Well, then we don't have to worry about it, do we?
Right.
Okay. I think we established that. All right. Okay, that's clear. What's our next step?
Mr. Chair.
Chairman Murphy.
I move the adoption of Section 2, Senate Section 2.
Article 2 or Section 2?
Section.
Okay, very good.
Section 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 13, 14, and all the House language with amendment. From Ms. James.
Okay. Everybody clear with that motion?
Just a moment.
Okay.
I might have an addition. I might have Section 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10, 11.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Section 11 is the requirement that MMB conduct a comprehensive market analysis of compensation for managerial positions in the executive branch. And so I
don't know.
The, 11, 12, 13, 14.
So you say two, four.
Two.
Section 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Representative Simon.
Just a quick question about Section 13. What is the repealer?
Ms. James.
Mr. Chair and members, the repealer is repealing an exemption to the cap on agency head salaries, and it's no longer necessary once we repeal or once we do away with the cap.
Mr. Chair, go on. All the House
Representative
language.
Representative Murphy.
All the House language. And I understand there's an amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Ms. James.
Madam Chair, the A, the A32 amends Section 2. There should be copies of that.
A32 amendments?
Section 15. Starts at the bottom.
Which article?
Article 7 in the Senate.
There we go, right there. All right, we are considering the 832 amendment.
Mr. Chair, members.
Yes, Ms. James.
This is a technical correction to lines 71.29 and 71.30. The due to other changes. Through the Compensation Council recommendations, the Legislative Coordinating Commission was no longer going to approve the salaries, but only would approve the salary range for these officials. And also, one of the sections on line 71.30 is previously repealed, doesn't exist. And so the change that you see on line 71.29 and 71.30, striking those lines, was just a little overly broad for the intention of the Compensation Council. And so this amendment brings it in line with what was intended.
That clear? And did you read, Mike? Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we have a big time motion coming up here. Who wants to state it? Chairman Murphy moves that in Article 7, Sections 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And all House, those are all House, and all House language be adopted. And also, we probably should do the A32 first. Okay, so should we move the A32? Representative Purcell moves the A32. Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? We've adopted the A32, so now.
Yes.
Mr. Simon. Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question on Section 14, since we didn't adopt, I'm just eyeballing it very quickly on the fly, but
okay.
Do we need to change, does staff know, do we need to change the effective dates here in the sense that I want to make sure that these track all the sections we've adopted and we're not inadvertently reviving something, or are we okay with Section 14? That's, I guess, the question.
Ms. James?
Mr. Chair and members, we could make a modification to the effective date section to make sure that we remove the reference to Section 3. So, for example, we would, on line 77.5, delete everything after the period and delete line 77.6.
And we'd renumber all the rest because we're deleting sections.
And then there would be renumbering of the rest of the sections. But that we can do that with a reviser's instruction.
So,
Representative Chair.
So, in other words, the only section referenced here in Section 14 that we're not proposing to adopt with the Murphy motion is Section 3.
We're also not adopting Section 1 in the Murphy motion, but it has its own effective date that's part of that section.
Right. Yeah. But other than that, of the ones listed in Section 14, only Section 3 would apply here. Okay. The others are part of the Murphy motion.
Correct.
Okay.
You comfortable with that, Representative?
Okay. So then, Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion as it was just described to on line 77.5, remove everything after the period, and then remove line 77.6.
To Representative Simon's motion. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion adopted.
Yes, plus section 15.
Yes,
so,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Newt.
I have a question on section 15 on the House side and section 8 on the Senate side, which continues from page R587 to page R687. You know, which one of those are we taking? If we approve section 8 on the Senate side, that would indicate that we are not going to approve section 14 or section 15 on the House side.
Mr. Chair and members, these two options are not mutually exclusive like we typically see on a side-by-side. These were on the left-hand side, the Senate side, this was a recommendation of the Compensation Council. And on the right-hand side is a different, amending a different sentence of the same section of statute, and that is from the LCC housekeeping bill. And so we're able to adopt both of them without any conflict.
Okay.
Okay,
good. Thank you.
Okay, so are we clear on the Murphy motion? Yes, sir. Mr. Ubinger.
Mr. Chair, members, Greg Ubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. With respect to the agency head salary ranges, language that's in here, R387, Senator Pappas's bill originally indexed those salary ranges for agency heads to 133% of the governor's salary and 120% of the governor's salary. Those indexes were removed when in the Senate Finance Committee, the ranges were, the governor's salary was indexed, so you no longer needed to index the agency head salaries. Now that the governor's salary is no longer going to be indexed, a technical change to restore the indexing for the agency heads might be something worth considering. We've got some language prepared that would reinstate that language. And that was the original recommendation from the Compensation Council.
Mr. Ewinger's suggestion. Any discussion? Representative
Just a question. So, as I understand it, Mr. Ewinger, the idea is you're inviting discussion on the topic of whether to index the agency heads.
Is that? Mr. Chair, Representative Simon, yes.
Okay. Representative Simon, Mr. Ewinger, what does indexing the agency heads mean?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, just like local government employees have a salary cap that is indexed, we do the same approach for agency heads so that those salary ranges would be indexed for inflation as well.
Chair Murphy.
Mr. Ewinger, and does that mean then that the legislature would be giving up their responsibility to inflation because they would automatically, the salaries would automatically go up?
Mr. Ubinger.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, the indexing would be for the ranges only. The governor would need to set the salaries of the agency heads
through his own plans. Mr. Chair, Mr. Huebinger, when was this in effect before?
I believe it was, would have been effective in 2014.
Mr. Huebinger has, Mr. Chair,
yes.
Mr. Huebinger
sure.
has the legislature followed this practice at any time in the past?
Mr. Huebinger, Chair and Representative Murphy, I think in 2008, the legislature indexed the maximum salaries that could be paid to local government. And MMB does that calculation and posts it on its website, and that serves as a limit that local governments can pay their employees.
Chair.
Senator Sasag, Mr. Chair. When the Senate discussed and voted for the Compensation Council language, Compensation Council, what was the nature of the discussion that took place on this topic?
It's a long time ago, Madam Chair. Well, I think the beauty of the Compensation Council is that it increases salaries in a modest way and allows for compensation for different skills without the legislature having to approve them. So I think that we had members of the Compensation Council present to us who were pretty good, you know. We had a couple of them here.
Okay.
So I think they would be good, but I'm interested in hearing discussion.
Yes, Chief. Chair, is the representative of the governor here today?
I think so, for the representative governor for the budget.
You bet.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chair, my name is Jim Lee. I'm a citizen.
But I'm not sure you know. Mr. Mossman, is this issue that's before us now at this particular time, is that on this list?
Madam Chair, I don't remember a specific conversation about that, but I believe that it is consistent with the intent that the caps, not the salaries themselves, but the caps would be adjusted over time. And I can verify that if you'd like.
I would like that verified.
Sure.
And I would like whether it's any other the 35 items that I've been asked to consider that's been mentioned before. That's what I'm interested in.
At this particular point, it's 20 minutes to one, so we've got to kind of parse our time here if we're going to finish this up. So,
Mr. Chairman,
we're still at the Murphy
right.
motion here.
I move that we.
That we move the Murphy motion, which is that. in Article 7, Section 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and all House language as amended be approved. And are we close here?
Mr. Chair, I would like to go through the funding offer until we hear verification.
All right. So you don't want to deal with Article 7 until we get that back from Mr. Osborne.
Right.
All right. So, Mr. Chair
and Representative Murphy, it was not on the list. The governor does support the adjustment to the cap for the agency heads over time. That has been his position of supporting the Compensation Council recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would like to go through the business, and then I would like to have a small, short discussion with the House members on the issue of the motion. If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. I
know where we're at on the time.
Okay, very good. All right, so do you want to do that, or do you want to go over the sheet first?
I would like to go over the sheet first.
All right, very good. Who's going to lead us through? Mr. Lundeen?
Yeah, I think myself and Ms. Roberts can kind of run
through it. Yeah, it would be a good combination. Get her done.
Mr. Chair, taking a look on the first page, the funding for the legislature for the Senate is at 4.3 for the biennium with tails of 3.8. The House is at 5.3 with tails of 5.3. The LCC, and this is the number also including the Office of the Legislative Auditor, is at 2.7. We included in here the sunset repeal. There was a base adjustment to the governor, 320 for the biennium. The office support limit, that language is not included, so there'll be nothing in there limiting that. The base adjustment for the attorney general was 2.1 million. The base adjustment for the secretary of state was 546,000. The HAVA funds are fully funded, and two other items that the governor had recommended and both the House and Senate are in this bill. The HAVA funds are appropriated. Moving down to the state auditor, the audit enterprise fund is included here. And also there is a base adjustment of $194,000 included. And then the Job Z oversight reduction is included. CTAS language that we included before is there.
Moving on to page 2 for the
One question. Mr. Lundeen, on the increase of increased office support limit, do we have a limit or has the cap been removed?
The cap has been removed. We will not include that rider in the bill, so there will be no cap.
So we're going to take that action. We haven't taken that action yet.
Well, when we were going through the riders, we did not approve that particular rider under the governor's office. So if the rider's not there, there is no limit.
All right.
Members, again, moving on to page 2 for the campaign finance board, the funding includes the requested increase of $622,000 for the biennium. For administrative hearings, there's an increase of $100,000 over the biennium. This includes the data practices hearing costs and the campaign violations deficiencies. For the CAP board, on line 54, there's an increase of $20,000 for the biennium. For the Office of Enterprise Technology, the funding level is at the governor's recommendation, which includes a reduction of just over $7 million for the biennium. Also included is the e-government public-private partnership, the $2 fee. This is a special revenue item. And you've already included the IT consolidation cash flow language. For Department of Administration, the funding total is $2.8 million. That includes the governor's initiatives, including lean expansion, the smart expansion, the internal audit function, et cetera. There's funding in for the Nellie Stone Johnson bust. Public TV is funded at $1.1 million. AMPERS is funded at, or these are increases, I'm sorry, I'm going a little too fast. These are all increases over the base. A $306,000 increase over the base. Minnesota Public Radio has a one-time increase of $300,000 plus $240,000 increase that will go into the base. And then finally, on the bottom of page three is the beginning of Minnesota management and budget. And continuing on to the next page.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative Nelson.
The Nellie Stone Johnson bust, we're using the House language, so it would be a bust or statue.
I believe that's correct. I recall that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moving on to page three online. 89, funding for Minnesota management and budget is at the governor's requested level of $12,025,000. Continuing on, Department of Revenue, the total for the department, the total changes, a reduction of $4.6 million. That includes the overall savings within the department and then also some funding for the taxpayer assistance grants and property tax technical grants. Moving on to line 107, there's a small increase for the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission of $36,000 for the biennium. And then for the four councils that follow, you'll see each has an increase of $200,000 for the biennium. And finally, the Minnesota Historical Society, their funding increase includes a base adjustment of $612,000, $568,000 for the biennium for their expanded education outreach initiative and access to historic resources, $100,000 for the Minnesota Forest History Center, and then I'll finish up on the next page. You'll see the funding for the various fiscal agents is at the level that was in the Senate bill.
The next item is the Minnesota Arts Board. There was a small base adjustment included there of $16,000. The Humanities Center, the operating budget adjustment of $28,000 was included. The Everybody Wins grant is one time at $40,000. The Science Museum operating budget adjustment of $22,000. There was no change made to the base for the contingent account. And then moving down to Vets Affairs, the healthcare IT improvement was fully funded. The Veteran Cemetery was funded at $425. The Honor Guard was funded at $400. The Minnesota GI Bill expansion was funded at $1 million. The County Veteran Services grant, we had taken the House level when we had approved the language earlier, so that was funded at the $2 million for the biennium level. The Gold Star funding was at $200,000, and then the MACV grant was funded above the base at $500,000, and that went into the base, became base funding. We picked up the language for the ambulance grant cancellation. To the next page, the commissioning grant for the USS Minnesota was not included. And then moving down the spreadsheet, the revenue items are basically for the general fund related to the audit practice fund that we talked about earlier. And then the continuous electronic payment, the small amount of revenue coming in there. And then the special revenue items we went through above related to the audit practice fund, the North Star e-government, and then the language that we had approved where there was a small, with the auto theft surcharge in the tails. And then turning to the last page, you can see the total spending that was made in the bill on line 245. The net spending was $927,000. or $927,706,000, and there's $3,000 remaining on the bottom line in the 14 and 15 biennium. The tail spending was at $921,833,000. And that is the spreadsheet.
Questions on the spreadsheet? Mr. Lundeen, do you have some language that we would use to, language we can use to approve this? If
I think we can, if we want to approve the spreadsheet, and then that these are the numbers, we'll actually take these numbers and put them into our more detailed spreadsheet to use to fill in the appropriations and the riders that we had approved earlier.
So, Representative Nelson, did you want to make a motion, including all that Mr. Lundeen said, and then if you make that motion, then do we have, Representative Simon, you have a question?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we approve the spreadsheet and the language that Mr. Lundeen, what Mr. Lundeen said.
Basically,
putting it into where it belongs in the.
All right.
And making any conforming changes.
Questions or comments on Representative Nelson's motion? Everybody understand what we got here?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Everybody who is in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have ourselves a spreadsheet. Mr. Lundeen.
There was one more item that we wanted, when we were going through the riders, we wanted a little more clarification on. This is on page R4 in Article 1. And this is under the Office of the Governor. In addition to the language dealing with the cap, there were two other riders there. One is on line 3.27, and this is dealing with a carve-out of the governor's appropriation for necessary expenses. And so this is a rider that has been in the bill in the past, but we wanted to get clarification if this was something we should include again. And then there is also language starting on line 3.32 that deals with a reporting back to the chairs of how much interagency agreements are entered into, to just give some notification to the chairs of those dollars that the governor is using.
Mr. Chair, I think that would be a very helpful letter to receive.
So you would move Section 3 on the Senate language, or what are we doing here?
R4, Article 1, Section 3. There were two paragraphs there, Ms. Roberts, that you showed me.
Madam Chair, I think
Ms. Roberts,
see the paragraphs A, B, and C on page R4 of the first article.
Section 3?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so
I move
that
adoption of
okay.
A, B, and C.
Just Chairman Murphy moves Representative Simon.
Quickly, I know we're on the clock here. What is an example of such an expense? $19,000 that are necessary expenses in the annual performance, normal performance of the governor and LG, for which no other reimbursement is provided. What's a, for instance? Does anyone know?
Mr. Mastin or Ms.
Welcome.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Catherine Barondo. I'm a budget officer with MMB, and I'm the budget officer for the governor's office. And this has traditionally been in the bill. It was left out during the session that the bill that was passed during the shutdown. But this allows the governor's office to pay for some expenses that would be related to buying flowers for deaths in the family of legislators or something of that nature, things that aren't typical operating expenses but are typical for a governor's office to use.
And it's kind of like the Rangers flower.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, good. Thank you, ma'am.
That's all I wanted.
All right, so is that... So under Article 1, Section 3...
A, B, and C.
A, B, and C. Everybody comfortable with that? Okay. Under Chair Murphy's motion to adopt that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. What else, gang?
Mr. Chair, I move that...
Representative Murphy.
I move that the staff have direction for corrections or technical changes or section changes, numbering the traditional reviser staff technical actions that they might have to make without our approval.
That's coming. We still are next.
On that motion, any discussion? Not all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's passed. Anything else we need?
Mr. Chair, I would like to...
Chairman Murphy.
I'm looking over the spreadsheet and looking over the amendments that we have adopted and the riders and the sames and similars. I would like to make a statement that nowhere in these documents was there approval for pay raises for legislators. Nowhere.
Salaries.
For their salaries.
Is that a statement or a motion?
In pay increases for their salaries.
Okay. So
that's a statement.
That's a statement. It's a good statement. It's a true statement. Anything else before we...
We're still going to Article 7.
Do I have to do this?
Okay.
We've got 2 minutes. Do I need that?
Murphy wants to index the agency.
All right. Let's pass it out. Okay. What else? We've got a motion for indexing coming around. Anything else that we need? Staff?
Adopted the whole Article 7.
Okay.
We still have to adopt Article 7.
Okay. Motion to adopt Article 7. We did that.
Did you guys adopt Article
7? Say, Mitch?
She moved it.
So, Mitch, did we adopt? We already adopted it. Yes, we did. Yes, I
just
but we moved this.
We moved it, but we didn't vote on it.
Okay. All right, we have our motion that from Article 1, Section 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all House language as amended. And apparently we didn't vote on that.
And I withdraw the motion.
Okay. And the motion's withdrawn. Right? Chairman Murphy, is there anything else you want to do?
I didn't mean
to. Does anyone else have any business to come before us?
You want to do Article 7?
You need to do Article 7. I think you withdrew your motion for the indexing, correct? This motion, so we still need to do this, but we're not as amended. Correct?
Yeah, I think.
All right. This is the final motion before we adjourn, whether we're ready to or not. But I would. But Article 1, Section 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all House language.
Is it Article 1 or 7?
Any discussion on that?
It's
7.
Mr. Chair, I believe it's Article 7.
Pardon me?
It's Article 7.
Yeah. And if not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed. Okay, we've done that. Anything else? Any other business? So we will gather tomorrow at some point to close and sign the bill. Thank you, everybody. Good work. Meeting adjourned.
State Government, Finance, and Veterans Affairs Committee will come to order. The items on the agenda today are omissions and corrections, and we will start with LCC 2. Mr. Shepherd, would you explain? We have three documents in front of us.
Yes.
That might be.
Madam Chair and members, last night the LCC 2 document was distributed at the end of the meeting, but time ran out and there wasn't a full discussion of it. It was our staff understanding that the conferees did wish to consider that, so we've put that back in front of you. We also asked the reviser to expedite the processing to prepare two conference reports, one with this LCC 2 incorporated into it and the other one without it, and so that you have in front of you pages from the version of the conference report that has the LCC 2 incorporated into it. So that, Madam Chair, is mechanically what's going on, and then I perhaps should explain what this LCC 2 is. There was a discussion at the very end of last night about the concept of annually adjusting for inflation the top of the ranges for the agency head salaries. And that is what this does. This inserts into the language of the Senate bill the concept that the top of the ranges for agency head group 1 and group 2 would each be adjusted for inflation annually. And this actually makes it would make the bill identical to Senate File 1534 as it was introduced, the Compensation Council recommendations.
Mr. Shepherd, this is for compensation for the executive branch agencies only?
Madam Chair and members, that is correct. This is only for the executive branch agents. It's only the top of the ranges. The governor would still have to set the salaries within the ranges. It would index the top of the ranges annually.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Mr. Shepherd. Just a question. As I understand it, the language that we already passed yesterday, that's already in the conference report, pegs the agency head salaries to governor's salaries. Is that right already before we take any action here today? Is that right?
Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair and Representative Simon, the action that you adopted last night provides that the Group 1 agency head salary range maximum would be 133% of the governor's salary. The Group 2 would be 120% of the governor's salary. So that yes, you adopted that last night.
Okay. And so, Madam Chair, and Mr. Shepherd, so I'm just trying to understand how that works. If the range is already going up because the governor's salary is going up, because the governor's salary is indexed to inflation, why do we need yet another escalator in here? So it's already going up on autopilot because the governor's salary is going up, if I'm understanding it correctly. But I'm just not sure why this is needed if it's already going up because it's pegged to something that has an inflationary escalator. It's probably sleep deprivation, so just let me know.
Mr. Shepherd.
Madam Chair and members, I think it might be sleep deprivation on my part. The governor's salary is not indexed for inflation.
Oh, okay.
There are, in the language that you adopted last night, there are two increases for the governor's salary, a 3% increase in January of 2015, another 3% of 2016.
Got it.
But the salary of the governors and constitutional officers is not indexed for inflation.
Got it.
It was in the original Senate bill, but that is not in anymore.
That's a helpful clarification, Mr. Shepherd. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Shepherd, so just so I got this straight in my mind, and again, it's some of that sleep deprivation. So if the salary range at the top end is going to be adjusted for inflation, and the governor's salary is stagnant, and the language here says it shall not exceed 133% of the governor's salary. So, in effect, every year that 133%, that number's going to go up so that they're not capped. Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure, because I just, the way I was reading it, it sounded like we're putting inflation in there, but we still have it capped at 133%. So, okay, that I understand it now.
Mr. Shepherd, and did I understand you to say that that's the maximum that the governor, the ceiling is the maximum, but the governor could ask someone to be commissioner at less salary than the first number that you talked about?
Madam Chair and members, that is completely correct. And you see that expressed in the language that was handed out on page 60, line 20. The salary for a position listed in this subdivision shall not exceed 133%. So that is a maximum.
Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you did last night, I just want to remind everybody there's no increases at all in salaries to legislators here. Because we're all suffering from sleep deprivation, and we want to make sure we make that clear.
Do you want an amendment?
Camera's on.
I think that's a very good statement for the record, Senator, and I appreciate it. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair, I'd move the LCC 2 amendment.
Is there any further discussion? If not, all in favor of the LCC 2 amendment, as Senator Saxon stated, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing three votes from both sides, the amendment is adopted. Is there any... I understand the reviser is bringing the bills, is on the way over with the bills to be signed. Is there anyone in the audience that has anything to bring to our attention? You will not have another chance. Okay.
If not, Madam Chair, I'd just like to... thank the House for working together with us in a very constructive way. All the staff, all our senators and representatives, and it's been a good experience. And especially, as you say, with lack of sleep, but keep an eye on the ball, and it helps. So thank you.
You're welcome, and we thank you, and we thank the staff completely, because... you make us look so good. We certainly like the input. We thank the groupies that are with us from beginning to end. Especially, you know, the people that brought the pictures and did the request for information. Number one have very special places in my heart. And so your contributions were reviewed and... listened to, and we carried them with you as we built this bill. And this is a bill that we can bring to our floor sessions today and speak about, and know that we are doing good for the people of the state of Minnesota, and especially the employees of the state of Minnesota who have worked so hard and been stretched to their limits for the last 10 years.
Well said, Madam Chair.
That we're giving them hope now. And our expectations are not decreasing, but they should be able to smile as the new fiscal year begins. So we thank them. We thank all of you. And the only thing left is for our signatures on the bill, so let us not leave until that happens.
So have you been home since I saw you last night?
How's it going, darling?
You may talk.
We may. 7:30, a little after.
I sit on the hall.
I got up at 10:30.
We just enjoy your company.
Took a shower.
I'm just talking to Tom.
My daughter-in-law made a key.
Should have stopped at your house on the way.
You should have. If I'd have known you were around, I'd have called you.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I got home after 2 and got up around 10.
Always got to
read the paper, said hi to Elijah, and he still remembered me, which was nice. And, and took a shower and got a phone call and said, be here in 5 minutes. Right.
Yeah. Senator Champion?
What time are we in?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
But there's that conference committee.
They've texted me that it should be short and sweet, and if they need my vote, they'll text me. They're just going to do a confirmation.
Okay.
For me? Yeah. Taxes. I have no idea who it is.
Well, if we adjourn, we're all on the list. We're all on
the budget. They're just getting together to confirm somebody in the tax.
All right.
Jurisdiction.
We're going to miss our photo op, but better use of our time probably is to go to our respective places and walk the bill.
Okay.
Now, this conference committee, 2013, for State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs, is adjourned. Okay.